Shaletta is here as she always is. Funny, no Dean Phillips, no Shaletta. She's on the phone. She's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline. Thank you for the beautiful picture, your family, that you sent me a couple days ago.
Was that amazing?
That's
Did we look good or what?
Really, really good.
Did we look good or what?
Just needed me. Just needed me in that picture.
You know, we ran out of space.
I would have looked tremendous.
In this seat
right
the,
in the middle.
In the middle, right. Yeah. Right where my mama was standing. Okay. Yeah.
She can go off to the side. Okay. I mean, the eye candy gets the eye candy position.
Right.
Know.
Okay. Show them legs.
Yeah.
Show those sexy legs of yours.
Yeah,
yes.
You're only human. Okay. Let's. You're only on for one segment, so we're going to get serious now.
Right.
5 years ago, Sunday, is when George Floyd was murdered by Derek Chauvin. You are an entrepreneur. You are a female. You are a black female. How do you feel like your opportunities and your treatment are now compared to the days, weeks, and months before what happened to George Floyd?
I think there is a story that sums this up really well. George Floyd died and was murdered during COVID. Everything is shut down, right? And, we were in the house the month before his murder. And so, thankfully, the folks at the Family Achievement Center where my kids were going to therapy were able to make a swift transition. And they were able to get speech and OT and PT services online. And so my son, Brandon, was going through his annual evaluation with his therapist. And she said, okay, one of these people is a community helper, police. She had a picture of a mailman, a picture of a nurse, and a chef. And she said, pick which one is going to come and help you if you're in trouble. And so my son sat there, and I was kind of off to the side doing something with some of the other kids, and I ran over to her, and I said, hey. He's not going to pick any of these because he's not been taught that the police are here to help him. He's been taught that the police are here to do a job. And if they ask you to do something, you go ahead and comply. But what you are not going to do is believe or be led to believe that the police are going to come and help you. They're not your friends. They're here to do a job. And if they ask you to do something, you follow their instructions. And so she kind of miffed me off, and, you know, because her experience was not my experience. She's a white woman. I'm a black woman. And she went on through the test, but I needed her to make sure to not mark him wrong on that answer. Well, a few weeks later, George Floyd died. And she called me back on her personal cell phone at night and said, I understand now why you chose to inform me about what you do with regard to how you teach your kids about the police and why your son wasn't able to answer that question. I didn't know before, but I do now. One of my best friends, Susan Pawhowski, we've raised our kids together. We got married 1 month apart. She was at my wedding. I was at her wedding. Her kids have been raised along with my kids. They're around the same age. They were at Andrew's graduation party. You might have bumped into them. She's always called me a helicopter mom, and she's always...
That's an understatement.
She's always said, why do you tell your kids that the police are not your friends and that, they are supposed to just follow commands? And that's just wrong, Shaletta. You shouldn't do that. Well, her experience wasn't my experience. And after George Floyd died, she picked up the phone and called me and said, I get it now. And so I had a lot of I get it nows. There's one thing for people to be told something. It's another thing for them to see it for themselves. And when George Floyd died, they saw not just George Floyd, but they saw my sons because they care about my sons. And that's why when people say Black Lives Matter, it's not that the Black life matter, it's that my sons matter. And so for people who have real Black friends and they care about their sons and their daughters, when you see something like George Floyd happen, you immediately start thinking about the Black people in your life who are close to you and how some of the things that they may have told you that you didn't understand before you understand now. You know, as a business owner, there were some companies in town who made some promises. And some of those companies kept their promises, right? Comcast, Bremer Bank, United Healthcare. They diversify their ad buys. They work with black business owners. I still have relationships with some of those companies today. But then there were other companies like Target who made promises and then didn't keep them, had to be, you know, feet had to be held to the fire, and then finally they came around. But, you know, a lot of that was performative. And guess what I did? I took the performative money and the real money and built my business. And so as an entrepreneur, sometimes I tell people, did you get your George Floyd money? Because there were companies who wanted to work with us that would have never worked with us before. Because George Floyd died, and I hope you got an opportunity to work with these major corporations in town and got your George Floyd money, because it's gone now. But now what I have is a relationship with some major Fortune 500 companies that allows me to be wealthy that I would never have had before had George Floyd not died. I wouldn't have access to the CEO of United Healthcare. I wouldn't have access to some of the vice presidents of General Mills or the CEO of the Mars Corporation. I wouldn't have been invited to the going away party for Jeanine Crain, the CEO of Bremer Bank, had George Floyd not died. How about this? Can we bring it on home? I wouldn't have my radio show. I have been begging John Hanson for a show for years. I've been filling in for you, sniffing up everybody's butt, filling in on the morning show. Anybody out the sick, I'm just sitting on the bench waiting to come in like the sixth man off the bench. And they didn't give me a show. And then when George Floyd died, they realized that they had white guy after white guy after white guy hosting shows. So they were getting the same perspective. And I remember John Hanson calling me and begging me to co-host Corey Hepler's show. And I told him, hell no, because you had this opportunity to give me the job and gave it to somebody else. And so now you need me because our city is burning down. And Sean had to remind me after I cussed him out and hung up on the phone. He said, what is your prayer every day? And I said, for $1 million? He was like, no, the other prayer. And my prayer every day is that God would make me the answer to somebody's problem. He said, now WCCO Radio has a problem. They need a diverse viewpoint. They called you. You've been waiting for this call. Go do the job.
So let me jump in on a couple of things.
My show.
Yeah, let me jump in a couple of things. Number one, John Hanson's a liar. That's my dealings with John Hanson, and I will send it's just a fact. He is. And I'm glad he doesn't work here. I hope he's doing well, but he lied to me over and over and over again, including when I defended you, and it was none of his damn business. I will also say this. You know, our station here with you and Henry and formerly Geraldine, we have more diversity here than a lot of other stations in town.
Amen.
And other stations that when individuals write this, we come up a lot, and I think it's really funny that other stations that are very successful, it doesn't come up. So I'm rather amused by it. So I want to say this. I know we only have one segment here, so we got about 4 or 5 more minutes. I will never have your experience. You will never have mine, right? But let's stay with yours because this is rings more true. You also know that my life has been very different than the typical white guy. I mean, the last woman I dated for 8 years is not a white woman, okay?
Right.
My mother, her closest friends were black. I attended a black church dozens and dozens and dozens of times. My father's business exposed me to diversity. My business exposed me to diversity. Mm-hmm. My good friends are non-whites, including you. And I get what you're saying. I do worry a little bit, though, because I still believe that a high, high percentage of police officers are good, are great, are fabulous, are decent. Now, I also understand the data on stops between me and you isn't close. It's just an indisputable fact. In many areas of this country, if I'm driving the same car that Shalette is, the amount of time Shalette is going to get pulled over compared to me, it's disproportionate, it's unfair, and it's racist. Now, I still believe that as a small percentage of officers, it's not that small, it's too big, and those individuals should be isolated, they should be fired, If there's an opportunity to give any leeway, maybe, but highly doubt it. I just worry when you say that to the kids and other people who value your opinion so much, who know that there are officers who feel that way. What does it do to the other officers who treat people the exact same way if you say officers are not your friend?
Well, I have to make sure my kids are prepared. And I'm not telling them that officers are bad, right? And I work with police officers. I go around the country partnering with police departments in every state I can to give away these interior combination door locks, whether it's the Sutton Police Department or Washington County or Cottage Grove or Houston Police or Fort Bend County down in Texas. I work with police. I'm not anti-police. But what I need my children to understand that the police officers are not to be played with, right? Because they don't have at 17 and 18 years old and at 12 and 13 years old a discerning spirit to know. Or get a sense of this is a good cop or this is a bad cop. So we just need to make the playing field level. Listen, they're here to do a job. Their job is to keep you safe. Their job is to keep everybody safe. So if they ask you to do something, don't talk back because I don't want them to die, right? Mm-hmm. Don't get into an argument with the police officer. Like, you can get out of your car and you can argue with the police officer and you can live to tell the story at the golf club. If I get out of my car and I argue with the police officer, I'm putting my life on the line. Same for my sons. So I need them to have the education and information that, listen, they're not bad. They're just not your friends. They're not to be played with. So if they ask you to do something, you do it and you don't talk back, right? If you get arrested and you didn't do anything, go ahead, get in the back of the car. There's no fighting. There's no arguing because you might not make it home if you do that, right? And then when you get down to the police station, call your mama. Or call our family lawyer and let somebody else fight for you. But you don't fight for yourself. You do what you're told. They're not to be played with. If the police tell my sons, stop or I'll shoot, they don't mean slow down. They don't mean ask me any questions. They mean stop or you will die.
It's a conversation we will continue another day. I wish you well. You know I love you. Are you on tomorrow?
Love you too. I am not, but I'm on Almanac tonight if anybody wants to see me. I've been practicing with the Timberwolves because I'm going to help them win game 3. And so I'm at Target Center. Sure. I got my uniform on. You know, I'm throwing balls to Ant-Man. And so if you want
anybody else, any other appearances you want to promote? You want a common later this afternoon? The Current? Carol Evan? I mean, good to know.
I think you said I'm the only person other than your father who comes on CCO to promote the other stuff.
That is very accurate. There's a lot of similarity. Thank you.
I love you.
Speaking of the Wolves, we were going to talk Wolves at the start. Then we started talking the weather music and weddings. We are going to talk Wolves with Mike Breen, really the voice of the NBA. He's been calling NBA Finals games since the aughts. And a longtime friend of mine. So he's going to join us about 2:35. But let's talk a little Wolves right now. Simple text. Are they done? Are they cooked? Because they've been overwhelmed by a team that won 68 games, and they are no longer playing the overrated Lakers, and they are no longer playing the Stephless Golden State Warriors. Are they cooked? Series, the cliche, let's toss it out. Normally, it doesn't really start until somebody wins on another team's home court. Now, there's some truth to that, but oh, by the way, if Oklahoma City just keeps winning on their home court, the series is over. So I got some thoughts. Do you have how about this? Let's go this way. Either they're done, yes, they're done. No, they're not done. Or 0 to 10, how likely is it that the Wolves still can win this series? I'll give some data when we come back. 651-461-9226.